Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning authority. Respecting authority begins in the home with the relationship between the children and the parents. And as we go into schools, we need to have respect for our teachers, respect for policemen. I saw in the news tonight, oh, it was awful, little bitty children hitting on policemen, showing disrespect because of what they were taught. Isn't this a difficult thing to watch? Hatred. And they don't even know what this man is all about, or this woman that they're hitting on. This is what we're dealing with, respecting authority. And we finished, of course, our sermon dealing with the most important avenue of respecting authority, and that's man's relationship to God. And so it needs to start, though, in the home, doesn't it? And continue on throughout our life, so we'll be able to fully submit to the authority of God. And so this Lord's Day, let's continue our study by asking this question: what is our authority for what we do in religion? And we'll begin our study in answering that question in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE, Preparing for Eternity, what we all need to be doing. Now we want to take this opportunity to cordially invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville, as we gather together in our Bible classes. We're studying, yes, God's precious Word, and as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, following the pattern of the New Testament. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. I can assure you, you'll receive a warm welcome. Now, something else we need to mention is we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, please contact us. We'll be glad to set up a convenient time for you. And if you have Bible questions, we appreciate those. Your comments, positive or negative, are also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Let's get back to our study. Oh, whoops, about forgot our website address. Let's back up. Website address, yes, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study. You can see I'm eager to get started. Again, we're asking this very important question: what is our authority for what we do in religion? And as we go to God's Word, we want to go now to Mark chapter 11 and look at verses 27 through 33, the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, that is Christ, by what authority doest thou these things? Here's our study on authority, isn't it? Right here in the Scriptures, where you have the religious hierarchy asking Jesus Christ, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Not realizing they were speaking to God in the flesh. And verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we say, if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all the men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. Well, he was. He was the forerunner to Christ. Verse 33, And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. Well, they didn't want to tell, did they? They were dishonest. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Well, they had already rejected John's baptism. And so what point was it for Jesus to tell them by what authority he was doing the things he was doing, being God in the flesh? But here is what I want all of us to notice very carefully, and that is this. Every religious act is done by the authority of one of these following possibilities, and there's only two. From heaven, that is from God, number one, or number two, from men. So that was Jesus' question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? It's one of the two. Which is it? Answer me. And so we see to perform a religious act by man's authority is to be guilty of sin. But to follow the authority from God, you see, that's what we need to be doing. And so let's be sure that what we do religiously is by the authority of God, not just what someone tells us is right, but we need to know for ourselves from the Scriptures. So let's go on in our study. And we need to all recognize this very fact. We must respect God's chain of authority. All authority, of course, resides in God, since He's the creator of all things, as we all should know. And God the Father gave all authority to His Son. Matthew 28:18, All power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Thus Jesus commissioned His disciples to go forth and teach all nations. You see, He had the authority to do so. It was given unto Him by His Father in heaven. So Christ then sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth, to reveal God's Word to man. John 14:26, John 16:13. You see, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the apostles, waiting in Jerusalem as they were told by Christ, received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were immersed by the power of the third person of the Godhead, as Jesus had promised. The Comforter, when He has come, He shall guide you into all truth. They were given the words. They were inspired men, in other words, as they spoke the gospel of Christ the day the church began there in Acts chapter 2. And when the apostles would lay on hands to pass on the 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, you see, others were able to have miraculous knowledge, for example, or the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, and other gifts as well, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and recognizing false spirits and miraculous faith, yes. So you see, they were revealing the Word of God by inspiration. Ephesians 3:5, chapter 4:12-14, 1 Timothy 1:18, and so forth. We could go on with other scriptures, but the point is, this is God's chain of authority. And so until the written Word of God was completed, there were inspired men who were able to they were completely inspired, preaching the Word of God without any failure. There was no error. Notice 1 Corinthians 13:9-10. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Did we notice that? That which is in part, of course, is what? The miraculous gifts that they were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, and of course, the apostles had all nine gifts. But the perfect is the Word of God. When that comes, then those things would be done away. And so then the final link in the chain of authority is the written Word of God in its completed form. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, we need to notice all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's not a thing lacking. We're given everything we need through the written Word. And of course, 2 Peter 1:3, it contains all things unto life and godliness. There's nothing left out. The Holy Bible was written by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Now today, there are no inspired men living. That's right, there are no inspired men living today. We better study God's Word and know whether the preacher, the teacher, is teaching or preaching the truth. Number two, miracles have ceased. They're no longer needed. The Word of God is complete, and it thoroughly furnishes us. So there's no need for the miracles. They had their purpose in the first century. And number three, there are no new revelations from God. Since the Bible contains all things unto life and godliness, there's no need for new revelations. Of course not. We all should see that. Galatians 1:6-9. If we're preaching another gospel, we're in trouble. 2 John 9:9-11, Revelation 22:18-19. We're not to tamper with the Word of God. We're not to bid people Godspeed that are false teachers either. Well, let's go on and notice this. We must understand that God's Word is absolute and objective truth. As Jesus said in John 8:31-32 to those disciples that believed on Him, "If you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." John 17:17, Jesus prayed. So, those who say that it does not matter what one does in worship are really saying that one cannot know the truth. Now, what is that? That is called subjectivism. You know, that's folks who are saying that, well, truth is just subjective and relative. No, sir. You're disagreeing with Jesus Christ. The truth is absolute, and it is objective. And let's get that impressed into our minds and never forget it. Denominations, they want to say one is acceptable to God, even though they're teaching different doctrines. In fact, it's the opposite teaching on many occasions. Well, what is that suggesting? That's suggesting that you're holding on to agnostic philosophy. It's like saying contradictions are true. Well, no, they cannot be true. That goes against logic, doesn't it? And so we want to understand that we can understand God's Word is absolute and objective truth, because if one cannot know truth, then one cannot know God. Now think about that. To reject God's chain of authority is to reject God. Our study is on authority. And we need to respect the authority of God. And as we've seen in the chain of authority, the last link is the written word of God in its completed form. So Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. That's speaking of God the Father, who sent Christ, who is sending his apostles to go forth with the word. Now, we can know truth. Yes, of course we can. By what? By studying the word of God. That's what we must impress upon our minds. And only the word of God can answer man's most important questions, because only the word of God contains all things pertaining unto life and godliness, as we mentioned 2 Peter 1:3. So let's notice some important questions. Where did I come from? In other words, what is my origin? Only the Bible can answer that. Science cannot answer that. I came from God. I'm created in the image of God. Man is. And we need to appreciate that and not have low self-esteem. After all, Christ died for us, did he not? Well, of course. Number two, why am I here? What's my purpose? Many people wander around, can't figure out why they're here. We're here to serve God. And when we serve God, we're going to help mankind. That's our purpose. Number three, where am I going? Well, we're going to decide that. But man's destiny is determined by whether or not he submits to the authority of God and obeys the gospel and lives a faithful Christian life, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ. Then I'll know where I'm going. I'm going to paradise, awaiting the second coming when I die. Now, we need to be able to show people, here's where you get the answers to life's most important questions. Now, God has given man the ability and the right to choose between obeying him, which will result in having eternal life in heaven, or not obeying him, which will result in being eternally punished in the fires of hell. Did we get that? God's given us the right to choose. Free moral agency. The choice is up to us. God votes for us. Yes, he did. He sent his son here to die for us. Satan votes against us. He told the first lie and was wanting us to get away from God. Wants to get the word out of our mind. He votes against us. Who casts the deciding vote? I do. You do. How are we going to vote? Well, we need to realize we have a choice and make the right choice. That's the bottom line, is it not? So, let's get again to our question, what is our authority for what we do in religion? Well, I want us to rule out some things. We're not to measure ourselves by others. 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We don't want to be like that. Number two, we are not to look to our parents or our family members' religious convictions as our standard of authority. Now, of course, we appreciate if our parents and family members are strong in the faith Christians. But what if they're not? You see, that's not our standard of authority. We need to know from the scriptures. They answered Jesus, the Jews did here in this occasion, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? John 8:33. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You see the point. they thought they were saved just because of their heritage. That's what we want to understand. That doesn't save us because of our parents. Now, something else to rule out here. What is our authority for what we do in religion? Well, we're not to look to our feelings as our standard of authority. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. We studied this recently in our Sunday morning Bible class. Well, take Jacob, for example. He was sure that his son Joseph was dead. He just grieved in sackcloth and ashes over the loss of his son. But he wasn't dead. His feelings were wrong, and ours can be too. That's not our standard of authority. In Acts 23, verse 1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Paul, at that time, was Saul, persecuting the church, going to Damascus to arrest Christians when the Lord appeared to him on the road and told him to go into Damascus where it would be told him what he must do. And Ananias, of course, told him, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. But before that, Saul of Tarsus was living in a good conscience while he was persecuting the church. So that's not our standard of authority, is it? But we are. Here we go. Here's the answer as we're, again, studying the question, what is our authority for what we do in religion? It must come from the Word of God. That is our standard of authority. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Romans 6:17. Make a note of that. Are we following the form of doctrine that's in the written Word of God in the New Testament? Now, notice 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Are we getting the point that the form of doctrine, the form of sound words, this is what we're to continue in? And it takes effort. We're not just going to have it, you know, without any looking into the scriptures on our part, just taking someone's word. We cannot do that. It's our soul. It's our soul's eternal destiny depends on our own study to be sure that we're holding fast to the doctrine. We have to know the doctrine. That takes study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. So, let's notice this before our time is up. There can be no faith where there is no word of God. Now, that's a true statement. We're talking about biblical faith. Not a blind leap in the dark faith. No, we're speaking of biblical faith. A system of faith that comes from our study of God's Word. And if we don't hear the Word of God, if we're not studying it, we can have no faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, that's very clear. Romans 10:17. No one should miss that. How then can man please God by that which is not written? The answer is, he cannot please God. We need to see this, every one of us. So, do we desire to please God? Then we must obey God's word. There's no getting around it. There's no loophole. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Notice that. Unto all them that obey him. So the question is, are we obeying him? If we're not, we're not going to have salvation. And this is eternal salvation. So, where are we looking for our authority in religion? From God or man? It's one or the other. Which is it? Jesus said, "Answer me." Are we ready to answer Christ? Are we respecting his authority and the authority through the Holy Scriptures? And have we obeyed the gospel? Are we continuing to obey God's word? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. As we talked about, we have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. And of course we must believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary, making it all possible. This is God's grace. It hath appeared unto all men. Yes, it's available to everyone, but not everyone is going to receive it because there are steps in the plan of salvation to be obeyed. The next step is repentance, making a change of wills, turning my life away from a sinful life and going in a new direction, following the will of God. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented of our sins, now we're ready to make the good confession, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Romans 10:9-10. That's unto salvation. But here's the step which puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ. And that is being buried with Christ into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:3-5. Jesus shed his blood in his death. John 19, we can see that. And certainly in verses 33, 34, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. John 19:33-34, there it is. Have we been baptized into Christ, putting on Christ? Galatians 3:27. Baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. How many more verses do we need to hear before we do what God would have us to do to save us from our sins? And then he will add us to his body, the true church. Acts 2:47. Now we remain faithful even unto death, and we'll have the victory. Revelation 2:10. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the precious gospel of Christ. And we certainly want to thank you for listening today.